Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Back here in WEEI Afternoons. This is going to sound like a backhanded compliment, but that was one of my more enjoyable chats with Adam Schefter. He had a little...
Oh, no, it was my favorite.
A little playful, a little giddy.
What do we credit that to? What's going on?
Playoffs.
That he would be that way.
Playoffs. Well, playoffs,
season's
coaching time of year.
Oh, this is where he's...
Yeah.
Hey, can I just share this little factoid that I pulled up at the end of the Schefter interview but didn't get a chance to weave into our chat? NFL sees second highest regular season average viewership since 1988. Up, ready for that? You thought the NFL was king last year? Viewership in 2025, up a whopping 10%.
Yeah. Okay.
So the America absolutely loved how wild this season and unpredictable it was.
Can we flush that out a little bit?
You going to hijack another Ted segment?
Dude, I can't.
You're in a mood.
I'm in a mood. Sorry. I'm in a mood.
He's in a chef's
mood.
Let's do
it. I'm in a mood.
Are
you out of your mind?
I'm in a mood.
Nine times out of ten, the last thing I want to do is lead segments. But today,
let's go. Let's roll.
Get out of my way. That is interesting because what does that fly in the face of that we're always told that people, you need what?
Too many streaming services.
Well, stars.
I'm not setting this up.
Measuring sticks.
Well, dynasties.
Super teams. Dynasties.
Super teams. So there really wasn't – nope, the super teams this year.
Parity
so,
ruled yeah, the nope. day.
Sam Darnold and Bo Nix are sitting at home as the one seeds.
Bad for football. Okay, is it? Because the ratings would sell you otherwise.
This I think this shoots down everything we just talked about, though. Like, people have bitched about, I'm not getting – you know, those. You need seven streaming services to watch the NFL this weekend. Did people?
Oh, yeah, that breakdown of, like, it's going to cost you $10 million
well,
to
guess
watch.
What? Everybody's paying it, and everybody's watching. Because what'd you say was up? How much?
NFL sees second highest regular season average viewership since 1988. 18.7 million average viewers per game. It's up 10% from last year.
10% is a lot when you're
did
already
the Did you think the NFL had room to grow by 10%?
No, you were already the fattest.
But what's okay, but hold on. Let's get this dinner. So you talk about streaming services.
Yep.
And you talk about the traditional network TV.
Yep.
Do they do the ratings the same for traditional networks that they do for streaming? Because
yes, they're averaging all of these things in Ted. Let's just take some guesses around the room. Which network was the king?
CBS.
Correct. Sorry, Ted.
No, what's the final conclusion on that?
They averaged 21.25 million. Their 4 o'clock window games this year averaged this. It could have been a blowout. 26 million viewers. That means 1 out of 12 Americans was watching CBS every Sunday at 4 o'clock.
It wasn't because of CBS. It was because they just happened to be on the best game.
Like,
and they determined before the season what network gets what games before the season starts.
Yeah. It's all
so it's just
out.
Luck. It's just luck.
Yeah, the more luck of the draw. But they didn't have, they lost guys. Like the Chiefs lost a little luster somewhere along the way. Joe Burrow was injured. Lamar
That's what I'm
was
saying.
Injured. Yeah.
So those games, they probably looked at the games before the season like, we're not getting very good games. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe we are because the teams we thought were good were bad, and right. the teams we thought were bad
Drake
are
May's
be good.
Awesome. Drake right. May's a superstar.
Right. Quick question to the producer's box. Stiz, how many years in a row has Sunday Night Football been the most watched primetime television show?
I'll go 10.
15.
Wow.
Is that how long it's been around?
Basically.
That's insane.
Like, why spend all this money crafting some sort of drama, medical drama, procedural, movie of the week like we used to watch growing up, when all you've got to do is go, Tirico, Mike, here's a guy, and just put on Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, that is.
Holy smokes.
I was certainly one of those people that thought because all the different streaming services, I thought viewership would be down a little bit.
Same.
And you know what this is also a reason for? And I think we talked about this. I heard Goodell talk about it. He's going to renegotiate the contracts, even though they're not their first out technically, I think, is not till 2029.
Correct.
He said it's in the best interest of everybody involved to renegotiate. And if I'm one of the networks, I'm like, wait, why is it in my best interest to pay you more money for something that I already signed up for?
Well, they can't break the contract.
Because then you keep football, Andy. That's the thing. Then you keep football on your network. That's why it's good for you.
I mean, he's going to bully him. He's going to basically say, you don't have to because the contract is the contract. But you're right, Dan. If you want it in the next contract, I think we should probably talk.
Well, wait. Are you ready for this, guys? Good comment from Monty Mack in the Twitch stream. The ratings increase is 1,000% because of gambling.
Is that true?
That probably does.
Weren't
play
we all
a factor,
gambling last
for sure.
Year?
Yeah. But no, but it's not as prevalent as it is now. It is everywhere.
You can't go anywhere without talking to a friend. You know that like 20 years ago it was like your fantasy team, and it feels like we're almost post fantasy. It's all 3 and 5 leg parlays and live game betting. Good afternoon.
Well, Stanley, can I ask you guys a question? Do you think it has to do maybe with the other products not being as good? Are they on a down year? MLB, NBA?
No, because
they don't compete with
MLB. Sunday in the fall is football time, and they're just more people deciding to turn to football. Like, I don't think that has changed. The gambling is definitely a part of it.
I think the NBA conversation is kind of interesting. I feel like the NBA is going through a bit of a lull in terms of the quality of their product.
You know what?
Even though they're getting more exposure now, Dan, thanks to the NBC and ESPN move.
But, Dan, I think the NBA, no matter how – I think even in the best years, if the NBA was at its peak of talent and product,
Jordan,
it's not going to compete with – because nobody – cares about the NBA until after Christmas, and most of the season's over for football by Christmas.
Right.
So there's so many games in the NBA that people don't really start paying attention until midway through, and I think most of the football season's already over by then. So I think that's the biggest problem with the NBA is the calendar in which it plays.
I just think football's the most popular sport. Like, people like football the most. The numbers were out for the 4 playoff games. And they were all, I believe, averaged over 20 million for the college football playoff games. We're all above 20-something million viewers. Like, people like football.
So
people
what do we
really like
okay,
football.
So let's just quickly look at Sunday night then. What do we think Patriots-Chargers is going to draw? Because I think it's going to be something like 32, 33 million.
It'll be high. I don't know exactly how high. Ooh. That seems a little high to me.
30 million seems doable to me.
But it also seems high to me for you to tell me that they're averaging 20-whatever million per 4 o'clock game or whatever.
Yeah, and also Sunday Night Football was averaging 24, 25 million viewers, and they peaked at over 30.
I think it's going to be less. And I think it's because who's tuning in to watch the Chargers? Right, it's going to be mostly people in the Northeast or fans of the
Patriots. I just think people are going to watch it because it's in prime time Sunday playoff game.
All right,
and it's like, the Patriots are playing the Chargers. I'm going to go watch it. What else am I going to do with my Sunday night kind of thing?
Yeah.
They kind of own the day.
But Adam brought up a good question. Is the more interesting question I should have asked was why is the Bears Packers game on Amazon and not on network? Because that's the biggest audience you would draw.
Bezos and a bag of cash right at the doorstep of 345 Park Ave.
Yeah. You don't think they get like little side deals, little honey
Little little sweetener, little NIL.
Yeah, money talks. Yeah. And Dan Ball said that 26 million people for the wild card game last year.
The NBC standalone game, yeah, which was actually down from 35 because they had the Rams at the beginning of 2024.
You might be right, 35.
Seems actually a good number. 30 is a good solid number for Sunday night. I don't know. I don't know where the number, because every time I think they can't get any bigger, the old Mark Cuban, hogs get fat, pigs get slaughtered, or whatever the saying is. That was so long ago, and they just keep getting fatter and fatter and fatter, and there's no sign of any slaughtering
coming. We can't get enough. They are just pushing the product on us, and we cannot get enough.
I'm sitting here thinking, is there going to be a time in which, say, 20 years from now, where players that are playing the game today are going to look back and go, oh, we were born at the wrong time? Because the salary cap, it's at 270 right now. 20 years from now, what if the salary cap's up to 500 million, 600 million?
It will be.
And that's where it's going.
It's why I've heard people say, are the Patriots, do they need to ferret away money to pay Drake May? No, the cap's going up. You're going to pay Drake May just like the Bills pay Josh Allen, just like the Chargers pay Justin Herbert. You're going to have to pay more because it's on the horizon. But then in a year after that, he'll fall to fifth in most paid. Mm-hmm. And then a year after that, he'll fall to 10th because the cap keeps going up and the next quarterback in line gets paid.
And don't you think the game last weekend, the Ravens-Steelers game, is the reason why football is king? Like, just the end of that game.
Yes.
Was so, like, I mean, I got people texting me like, are you watching this game?
Awesome.
Like, it was.
And I'm not sure it was well played. It's not
great football.
It's the ultimate reality
entertainment.
TV.
And it's why a lot of you players hate kickers and the fact that everything comes down to the kickers doing or not doing their jobs. Yes, Dan Ball?
Ted, to take that a step further, I think it's the fact that you have that incredible ending, great reality, and then, oh my God, I have to wait a whole nother week before I can see that again.
Yeah.
You have great endings all across sports, but now I got
to
wait five more days before I can see that again.
See two kickers who never miss in a row.
Or just to see that kind of there's no instant gratification of, I can turn on the Red Sox the next day and maybe see it again.
And did you also see that meme that was out there that showed them lining up for the field goal and showed field goal good, Tomlin fired, either side of that, Harbaugh fired?
Like, there were NFL memes did that.
That's great.
Jobs on
great
the line.
Point, right?
And it's that's that juice, that buzz. And for some reason, we care. Like, we don't care as much when we watch the Reds play the Marlins. You know, like, it's just some out-of-market random game.
It's not Steelers-Ravens. It's 3 hours of car crashes hatred.
It's what was on the line for that game.
Oh, yeah.
Win or go home.
But I also don't think
it was a playoff game. It was technically the first playoff game.
But I don't think I would care in baseball as much, even if a playoff was on the line.
You would not.
Just not the same juice.
Game 7.
No. Like, I'll watch it and I'll enjoy it.
Game 7 of the first round. You're right.
Game 7. All right. The World Series. Game 7 of the World Series is the outlier, because this year it was with the Pajes catch in the ninth. It was absolutely epic. That said, to go from blown coverage, Zay Flowers scores 2 minutes. Blown coverage, Calvin Austin scores 50 seconds left. Blown coverage, Ravens go down the field after the Boswell miss. And then to see, was it Groupie miss or whatever?
Loop.
Holy smokes. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't.
Groupie.
Yeah, I don't know.
Where's your head?
Places. But, like, you can't script. You cannot. It is the ultimate reality. You cannot script better theater.
Except like you had Allen and Mahomes. I feel like we get these a couple times every year.
13 mm-hmm. seconds. You'll never forget where you were when you watched that.
When the no pass interference call. There's
worst non-call in the history of football.
We have multiple of these games in the NFL postseason, and it's not even just your team. And you care a lot. You're bitching about it because it's so enthralling and engaging. Yeah. Anyway, speaking of a lot on the line, Super Bowl or bust for your New England Patriots. Not just Sunday. Have they set themselves up as the 2 seed to be in a Super Bowl or bust situation? So what you're going to hear here is a certain member of this program who believes, indeed, Super Bowl or bust. And then we shared that thought with the quarterback of the Patriots, and his response was interesting. But what is the updated goal? Because Stiz asked me a question, and this may be a teaser to a three-point stance. That
it's not a question, it's a fact, Andy.
Is it Super Bowl or bust for your New England Patriots? So
well,
it's,
they're competing for one now.
Well, you know, really compete for a championship. You got to be in the final four to consider yourself competing for a championship.
There's only one
opinion.
Trophy that matters around here.
Hardo Belichick Stiz is back. What would you say if somebody on the radio said it's Super Bowl or bust for the New England Patriots?
I think they can have their own opinion if somebody said that. You know, we're worried about, you know, each and every week and trying to go out there and beat the next opponent on our schedule. So I think Super Bowl or bust, I'm not really even sure what that term exactly means. I know a lot of people say it, but I think, you know, everybody in the NFL Super Bowl or bust at the beginning of the year, and it's whoever tries to make it.
How about
such
that?
Such a good answer. You know what I mean? He just kind of just brushed it off. He does a good job of just you're setting him up, obviously. You want your partner to look bad, right?
That answer was tell your nerd.
Thank you, Ted.
Tell your nerd behind the glass I'm gonna give him a wedgie after school.
Can we just acknowledge though that he said I don't even know what that means and then proceeded to answer the question about exactly what it means? That's the beauty of a Drake May answer, baby. He knows exactly what he's doing.
And answered it like illicitly is like like to a T as well. Like, I don't know what that means. But here's a perfectly elocuted answer.
He literally said I don't know what that means, but every year, every team starts thinking Super Bowl or bust.
Yeah.
Oh, so you do know what it means.
I don't know what it means, but here's what it means and why it's stupid. That was a masterclass.
But is there any truth to it?
Would have been funnier if you said that.
Because we're taking it to the next level. It's one thing to say the season becomes a failure because you lose in the first round.
How about divisional round or bust? That's what I would say. Playoffs, I think it's more.
Oh, for this team, yes.
For divisional round. I'm going to look at this. If they lose this game, I'll be very disappointed, almost look at it as a failure. I do.
And is that hinging on
if they lose this game?
But is it the opponent? Like, if Houston had been this opponent, things had played out differently, and Houston was the first game, would that have, or is it just in general in your mind? This is a divisional round team. Get your ass there.
Context would matter, because say a team, I don't know, was it was a team that was kind of 500 without their best quarterback because he was hurt all season. And then he comes back at the end of the season and lights it up. And all of a sudden you're playing a team with an elite quarterback who's got a lower seed because he was injured for most of the season. Like the Bengals, per se, if they got in, I'd be like, okay, well, that's different. So context would matter. But I think in this case, Herbert, to me, is not an elite quarterback. And this team is a dome team. And you are, I think, a better overall team. You should win this game. So I will look at, to validate what you did in the regular season, you have to at least win one playoff game.
And that's what Schefter said. He said, this has been a great, not great. Great means you won a playoff game.
Yeah.
To be a great
win.
Season.
Dude, we have stats on regular season, and then we look at Herbert. Oh, he's 0-2 in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Like, we look at Lamar Jackson. Oh, my God. But he's never been to the Super Bowl. So where you really define yourself in legacy begin and end is in the playoffs. So, this is important.
Drake May's legacy.
At least win one game.
Drake May's legacy begins being written on Sunday night.
Yeah.
And then through the postseason. And because the weird, like, to be, he had a great regular season, MVP candidate. But if he loses, he's 0-1 in the playoffs. And then he has to win one to even be a 500 play, right? You got to win two to get above 500 then. Like, you're chasing it.
Where is Ted's career? Where is everything associated with the first half of the double dynastic run if in Tom Brady's first playoff game, the call goes the way of not the NFL rule book, but Walt Coleman's judgment is like, yeah, of course that was a fumble. Game's over. Like, imagine that. Just like sometimes
everything changes.
These things hinge on one little sliding door.
And go ahead.
You just like you appropriately said on the way in, I heard you say, you know, it'll give fuel to the Cam Newtons of the world. Cam could say is like, okay, so is maybe the Chargers the best team they played all year? I know they beat the Bills. Yeah. The Bills are the best team, but the Chargers are probably the second best team. And you lost to them. So like your whole season will be questioned because you lost to a team that maybe was the best team you played all season at the biggest moment of the season.
And then for Drake May, if you lose, you don't get the chance to make up for that for a full calendar year. Because you can have another great regular season. Well, you did that last year.
Yeah.
And then you lost to the Chargers. Yeah. So you actually have to wait till next January of 2027 to have a chance to kind of buff up the legacy, take a step forward.
And you talk about kind of messages that Vrabel's been sending out all year. If you get beat physically, their mantra was being... But they don't want to be front runners. Winning a lot of regular season games and then getting knocked out in the first round... is the definition of a front runner.
Absolutely. So Super Bowl or bust is, I still think, is a little strong, but I get where you're going. We are in, and you brought, I think you said it, around here, right? Like, we're not in Jacksonville, right? We're not in Carolina. We're
yeah,
not in,
and I just think, Andy, is there any team that you think this season that scare you? Like, oh, the Patriots can't win that.
No chance.
And can the Patriots, theoretically, can they win the Super Bowl this year?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You got to go through the door that's open at the time that it's open. Everything might not be the same next year. Drake May. The whole team seems to be firing on all cylinders this year. We had the schedule that we had that some people, you know, would say is easier. Next year, we saw the schedule not going to be the same as this year. So I just think, like, you got to get it while the getting's good. And this could be our year.
Imagine if Bill Belichick heard you talking this way.
You're the 2 seed at home. So you're set up to play lesser teams. You're playing the 7 seed, and you're at home. I didn't even know this till Schefter just said it. The Bills haven't won a road playoff game since 1992. If that doesn't tell you how important home field is in the playoffs,
don't kid yourself.
NFL.
It's not only, you know, are you hosting at home, so that gives you an advantage. You're hosting a warm weather team coming to the cold, and the Jags are hosting a cold weather team coming to the heat.
Those factors in. Fitzy also had a sleep expert that said the West Coast team coming east actually benefits the 8 o'clock game because in their mind it's 4 o'clock. Did you know you're at your best from 4 to 7?
I had no idea.
I would have guessed,
Really? So we should should we move this show later and tell our candidates to start at 7? Let's do 4 to 7 every day. I found that study fascinating.
I think there's something to it, too. I do.
Wait, so you're worried about the Chargers?
I am more worried.
Because you saw that study.
I'm into that stuff. Yep. I'm into the external
biorhythms, baby.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first 2 orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
From the last year, the Patriots won 4 games, you signed here in free agency, you guys ended up winning 14. Did you expect to have this type of success this first year?
Not gonna lie, no, I didn't. And I really didn't know what to expect. You know, I just come in, try to work every day, listen to what my coach telling me, and just feed into this team, feed into the young guys, and just trying to be a good vet for those guys, and No, we had a lot of success. Like I said, we put on tape what works, and we just gotta keep doing it.
I love Milton Williams, the milkman, who I think we're gonna talk to on Friday. I don't want to promise anything.
Fingers
Keith.
Crossed.
But he's in our Patriots Friday guest rotation.
That's right.
He's back from IR. We haven't talked to him in eons.
It's been months or month.
And he gets asked yesterday, hey, do you guys think you were going to be this good this year? Because you asked Hunter Henry, Keith,
yeah.
on the surprise scale.
Yeah.
You know, how surprised are you? You're 11-2 or whatever it was at the time. He's like, oh, I'm not.
Not.
I forget his answer. I forget the number.
Five, maybe.
Yeah.
It was low.
It was exceptionally
low on the scale.
And Milton Williams is like, do you think you'd be this successful? He's like, nah, no. I'm gonna be honest with you guys. Like, no, did not.
I came here for the money.
Which
he left the Super Bowl winning team. He left the best defense in the league, probably, and signed for a lot of money. And they're the 2 seed in the AFC. No, nobody thought they were going to be the 2 seed. All the optimistic people, and I would include myself in there, were like, wild card team. Maybe they're one of the wild card teams with like 10 wins. They win 14 and lose out on the number 1 seed by a tiebreaker. So, yeah, nobody saw that coming. I appreciate his honesty.
No, me too.
Yeah.
I like that out of him. He's a straight shooter.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked to Christian Ellis yesterday. If you missed any of it, it's on the Audacy app, AUDACY. Get it on your phone. It's free, easy. Take it with you wherever you go. You won't miss a second of Jones and Keefe, so get that now. But Christian Ellis is like raving about Milton Williams yesterday. And he's like, we have guys who came in from other places that knew how to win. And I think...
like how he was like, there's also guys I'd never heard of.
Yeah.
Or he was like, yeah. running all
he's
kinds
like,
of
guys
players.
I never heard of, which I love. I do love thinking about that. It's like,
too.
They're like, how many people do you think heard of you there, Christian?
Well, listen, what goes around comes around.
Yeah, exactly. But... you know, when we're talking about the reason for the turnaround, I would not have this guy up with Vrabel and May, maybe even Kraft, who spent the money on Milton Williams. But Milton Williams for the culture change and, like, turning things around in the leadership, he should probably be right there with Diggs.
Well,
like,
so
we talk about Diggs a lot more than we talk about him. He should be on that list of important people who had a big impact on the turnaround culture-wise.
Yeah, I agree. I also think when you do spend big money in free agency, and, I mean, like, for the team, right, there are obviously bigger free agents out there in the NFL, but... I think how that guy does is a pretty good barometer. So, like, Adalys Thomas is a good example. Like, Adalys Thomas was, like, a big splash. And, like, that sent a message, and it was, like, it wasn't very good. And it kind of, like, fizzled out. Stephon Gilmore was another one where, at first, it didn't look great, and then it was awesome. He was Defensive Player of the Year, for God's sakes. But that was, like, a big-time investment, which they didn't typically do, right? In Bill's time here, two, three times, Roosevelt Colvin, like, a few times that they brought in guys.
Oh, yeah, like a one-off with Revis. There were not many of
those.
There
were not too many.
Yeah.
And even Revis, I don't think, got, like, the money. Like, it wasn't, like, the money commitment. That was sort of, like, a weird, like...
It was, like, a one-year deal.
Yes.
It was effectively a
one... And then he was gone.
Yeah. It was a one-year... I think they paid through the nose for a year, but it was 1 year.
But this one I look at even differently because this is year one of Mike Vrabel, and they had a big offseason. They spent money in free agency, and the guy that they spent the most money on was Milton Williams. And so if he's not a big hit, what does that end up looking like? But he was. He was everything you want him to be and more. The only knock, really, was that he had to miss a few games. But now he's back. So, yeah, no, he's been awesome and just another one of the reasons why the team was able to go from 3-4 wins to 14.
Nick and Ford, only 1 year, $12 million for Revis. So that's less than I thought.
Yeah,
it got him a 6-year, $96 million deal from the Buccaneers.
Yeah, and then he had that he had like an option or something in his deal for like $30 million. And I remember being like, pick it up. It's like he's long gone.
So, no, I agree. When you spend money and you spend it wisely,
yeah.
and that does set the tone.
Yeah, it's great.
I think there's a lot of that going on with this team. So he's a name we really didn't bring up, and we were talking about that yesterday. We're already getting a lot of feedback on who there's more pressure on and thoughts on this matchup for this weekend between the Patriots and the Chargers. Guys, I disagree. There's more pressure on the Patriots. They're the number 2 seed, so they're the team that has more pressure on them.
See, I don't think you can just base it off the seeds.
I don't either.
Right? Like, when you look around, I think it's somebody more like Justin Herbert who's had cracks at it. I think specifically him, and then therefore probably the team. Now, I do get the argument I saw on the text line that says because so many people are saying they have a weak schedule, and then the only reason why they're in the spot that they're in is because of the weak schedule, and then you play a real team and you lose, it's like, all right, I guess there's pressure in that sense.
Well, that's true.
If but I think you also have an opportunity to follow that up the next year,
you
right?
Do.
Like, but
if the Patriots go win 10 games next year, no one's going to talk about the schedule anymore.
Right, but if they lose to the Chargers,
that's
a
long
ways. You're
going to
wait a minute.
You have to hear about it all offseason.
No, true, true.
So, like, I guess there's some pressure in that way. And I think Drake May, if you don't want to have people talking about, we probably won't hear in New England.
Yeah,
but if you don't want you know, national media and football fans in other markets talking about Drake May. Like, all of you people talk about Lamar Jackson and Justin Herbert and some of these quarterbacks who get to the playoffs and don't win or don't win fast enough or don't win early enough, then don't let Drake May get on that list.
So I'm having an orgasm over Drake May.
Did I hear somebody texted that Susan called Bradfoe while we were out? So I, maybe it was during, I think he was filling in mostly for Greg.
Oh, really? I didn't hear that.
She's ducking you guys?
Well, apparently, it was a straight text. It's always dangerous to listen to the text line, but I'm going to do it.
Yeah, okay.
The text line claimed that she's doing Best Shape of Your Life with Bradfoe.
What does that even mean?
I think he's got like an Awaken 180 challenge going on.
Get
in shape, set a goal by opening day of baseball season.
Oh, hell yeah. All right, nice. You get a few months to knock off some of the pounds?
Yeah.
Good.
Maybe Susan doesn't need the knock off pounds.
Have we seen a photo of Susan yet?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
Maybe she's just going to add a little more tone, a little more muscle.
Have you guys seen a picture of Susan back there? No.
I hate the media.
That's fine.
I bet she looks like one of those.
It's a broad brush, Susan, I'll be honest.
One of those ladies on Bob Ryan's timeline. One of those AI ladies.
Oh, I screwed that up yesterday. Nick told me I didn't scroll down far enough on Bob Ryan's.
Let's get to it later today.
I'll update that in the grab bag.
If you could,
we have a juicy update on Bob Ryan's Twitter.
617-779-7937. More text here.
Real quick, I was just going to say, too, about, you know, good young quarterbacks and, you know, when they lose early and then that gets sort of attached to them versus when they win early, et cetera. The other thing is there's been so many comparisons with Drake May and Tom Brady, right? The last time they did this, that, and the other thing, it was when Tom Brady was the quarterback. You couldn't have a polar opposite start, right? Like, so Justin Herbert 0-2 in the playoffs. Tom Brady, I think, was 10-0.
Correct.
Before he lost his first,
He went 3-0, 3-0, 3-0, and then won a game the next year before losing in Denver? In Denver.
Probably, But, like, so that's the other thing. Like, nobody starts their career that way. But that just goes to show you, like, the extreme opposite. And then, like, all right, you're just always a winner no matter what happens. Peyton Manning fought it most of his career, right? Because he would – a lot of early exits. Even still, I think, barely over 500 in his time as a quarterback in the playoffs.
Josh Allen's won a bunch of playoff games. People talk about Josh Allen like he's a loser because he hasn't won a Super Bowl yet.
Right.
So, I mean, that'll start sticking to May real quick. Text line, I actually don't like the matchup with the Chargers.
What?
Number one, they came in here last year and whooped our ass. I want to get to that in a second.
That was a different team, I feel like.
They have
the Patriots team.
Top five defense, and they have a great offense with a good running back.
So I don't know if they have a top five defense. I mean,
defense has been playing very well of late. That is true.
So based on the numbers, now again, maybe you could find a number that would say that they are. Just based on points, just general points, right, through 17 games.
Patriots allow fewer points per game, right?
Yeah, I was going to tell you the Chargers are ninth in defense. Last year at this time, they were number one in defense, so they got a little bit worse. Their offense is 20th. Last year, they were 11th.
Yeah, so I think the Chargers' defense is good, but I prefer the Patriots' offense. Like, I think the better unit is the Patriots' offense compared to the Chargers' defense. Yeah. We'll see. I don't think the Chargers have a very good offense. And I think
they can't
protect Herbert, and they don't run it as well as you would think. Harbaugh wants to run it. Roman wants to run it. They don't run it as well as you'd think. So,
yeah, for all the talk about Drake May getting sacked and being up there towards the top of the league with Cam Ward and Geno Smith, at the end of the year, Justin Herbert was sacked more than Drake May, and he didn't play as many games. He had sacked, I think it was seven more times and played one fewer game.
Yeah, and look,
thank you.
I think, you know, they're down Alt. They're down. Slater hasn't played all year. Alt was banged up all year, in and out.
Everybody on the offensive line, and then some more people on the offensive line.
But it's a huge difference.
But still, I mean, on some level, the sacks are going to be on the quarterback. Like, that amount of sacks is on the quarterback on some level. It starts with the O-line. But on some level, that's some of him as well. So, yeah, I'm not afraid of the Chargers' offense. That doesn't scare me. As bad as the Patriots' defense looked at times on Sunday, that doesn't scare me. I think the better unit for the Chargers is on the other side of the ball. Less their offense, even with a name like Herbert coming in. You don't factor in last year's matchup at all?
The only thing I would say is
40-7, right, was the final in that one?
The only reason I would even factor that in, because the team is so different. There are so many different players. The coaching staff is different. Like, all of it is different. But I would at least say Justin Herbert now has some success against a Patriots team, because Justin Herbert got destroyed all the time. Even the bad Patriots teams with Bill Belichick, they would beat Justin Herbert and Herbert look bad, which is another reason why people around here think Herbert stinks, is because he would always have like his worst game against the Patriots.
Yeah, it was one of them. Was it like 6-0 in the rain against like Bailey Zappi?
It was like they.
It was gross.
He
won that game,
yeah,
right?
You know, he won it, but it was like awful.
You're like, what is that?
Yeah, and then so you're I think that's last one year. Of the reasons. Last year was a real, actual, strong performance against the Patriots. That was Mayo, and it was a bad team. It wasn't Belichick at his defense, but yeah, maybe that's some of it. I think that's
part of it. He's 2-2 in his career. Herbert is against the Patriots. His quarterback rating is 72.8.
Yeah, it's horrible.
And you look at most of the other teams he's played against, it's all over 100. It's like one of the worst teams he's played against is the Patriots. So at the very least, I guess he could say he hasn't had all bad games against them. But no, I mean, almost everything is different about this year's Patriots team.
617-779-7937. How are you feeling about the matchup on Sunday? Who has more pressure on them? And again, the Patriots going against the Chargers. I don't factor in a lot of last year's matchup either, although the Chargers did come in here and whoop up on the Patriots. Who is the biggest threat to the Pats? We're not afraid of the Chargers. Who is the biggest threat to the Pats? We can get into that with all your phone calls coming up next.
Jones and Keefe on WEEI. Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
But if he asked you to state your case for the award, what would you say your case is to be the NFL MVP?
Cool. I appreciate that, Ted. I think just our team, 14-3, winning the AFC East in a year that a lot of people, would have bet on us not to. I think that's what this league's about, winning. And I think, from there, just ability to spread the ball around and try to get a lot of teammates involved is what I enjoy to do. I think we did that this year, and looking forward to hosting a home playoff game. So,
how was Drake May yesterday on WEEI Afternoons? If you missed any of it, Odyssey app, AUDACY. You can get it on your phone, free, easy. Take it with you wherever you go. You can hear Drake May. You can hear Mike Vrabel. You won't miss a second of Jones and Keefe. Again, Odyssey app. That's a lot of what he said the day before about, 14 wins and, this is what I'm most proud of, except he was making his case there in the MVP debate. I heard a decent amount of Greg and Wiggy and Courtney and everyone arguing about this morning, Ty Law in with them. Greg seems to think that Brady was going with Matt Stafford in the MVP discussion on some level for being a little threatened by Drake May coming in and breaking his completion percentage.
I didn't read it that way originally, but I also maybe. Like, why not? Because, like, that's pretty quick, right, to turn around and be like, oh, the guy that took over, not for me right away, but only a couple years later, and they have another MVP candidate or winner? Maybe there could be a little bit of that. I thought it was more like the quarterback club thing.
See,
where you're like,
that's also what I think.
Stafford's been through the grind. I'm going with the old guy. Like, I like the old guys
but
playing.
But that hadn't occurred to me about, like, sour grapes from Brady. I hadn't really thought about that. It could be. My guess is it's more what
like
you
veterans
think it
looking
is.
Down. Not looking down, but, like, rookies and second year guys, like, you'll get your turn. Like, well, it's not your turn.
And him and Stafford on some level are contemporaries. Like, they played against each other. Yeah. Like, I would imagine there's some relationship there
but
in the quarterback club. It's
Brady,
not that there's zero with Drake May, but right. I'd imagine there's more of that going on.
Yeah. But you also heard what Brady did with the when he was asked about it. He was like hyping up McDaniels too, which is clearly like his guy. It'd be more interesting if it was like Stafford or Mahomes. And what would Brady say? Because, like, if Mahomes was in line for another MVP, would he be like, no, it's definitely Stafford. Like, I'd read more into that, honestly, than him saying it's not Drake May.
Yeah. I mean, look, we've made our case. I think Drake May should be MVP. He did, in a lot of ways, more with less.
I mean, definitely with less.
He won more. No, I'm saying in a lot of ways he did more.
He did.
He had fewer total touchdowns, but he was closer in total touchdowns and passing touchdowns. Stafford had him in passing touchdowns. He had the edge in rushing touchdowns and overall.
Well, Shime had a good point this morning and that when they were talking about it, and I think, or Wiggy, they were talking about it together, where, like, if it wasn't Stafford, right, let's say Jared Goff or C.J. Stroud or a player like that.
I think Stroud's the perfect name, and that's who they came up with because he's a younger quarterback, also early in his career. Yeah.
Like, but I think even Goff, because Goff doesn't, like, Stafford's looked at in a completely different light, and part of it was McVay trading those guys straight up for each other, then winning a Super Bowl with Stafford. People, like, love Matthew Stafford. He's moving up the all-time ranks in touchdown passes and yards, and every week he's moving up those things. If it was somebody like Jared Goff, he'd be like, oh, he led the league in touchdown passes. That's nice. Good for you. But it doesn't mean you're the MVP, because that's really the one stat that he has. And it's a big stat. It's a great stat. I love touchdown passes. But when it's like wins, total yards, yards per play, completion percentage, quarterback rating, doing it with less. Bill Barnwell had a great breakdown actually on ESPN about why Drake May should be the MVP.
And one of the reasons was everyone's like, oh, the strength of schedule, blah, 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 blah. He's like, but if you look at the passing defenses faced, and we talked about this in real time because we were like, the Cleveland Browns
are
suck.
A bad team.
The Cleveland Browns, but their defense
is good.
Myles Garrett sacked them five times. Right. Like, so they have the defensive player of the year. And that's so if you want to take it one step further, because everyone's like, oh, you guys are so dumb. They didn't play anybody good. They played a lot of good pass defenses. I think half his games were against some of the best pass defenses in the league.
The passing defenses that Stafford and May faced are a lot closer than the overall strength of schedule was Barnwell's.
And then Barnwell also pointed out, too, in those games against those teams, Drake May is way better than everybody else who played him, including Stafford.
So the common
There's
opponents,
so many reasons why it's Drake May. I mean, he...
The common opponents between the two of them, and I can find this if you want, but this is floating around over the last week or two. The common opponents between May and Stafford. Forget who they played. Just look at the two teams when they played them both. You know, Carolina and teams like this, who Stafford lost to, by the way. Mm-hmm. If you look at the common opponents that they faced this year, May had better production against the same teams. So level the playing field as much as you can.
Yeah, he was 6-0 in those games. Stafford was 4-2 in those
Thank
games.
Thank you. And the statistics were advantageous to May as well. So I think he should win MVP. You think he should win MVP. Most of New England thinks he should win MVP.
Yeah, I mean, I know we're preaching to the choir here, but I did find it pretty interesting the breakdown that Barnwell had for it, right? Because it's easy for us, but I don't know. He had some pretty convincing numbers, like passing touchdowns. You're right. That is one of them. Now, 13 of them from the 1 yard line to Devontae Adams. Sean McVay clearly trying to go for something. I'm sure the running backs love the play calling down there. Whatever, like that is something. But also wins, like we put the importance of wins on quarterbacks all the time. So if we're gonna keep doing that, apply it to the MVP race. I don't think that's the be all end all, right? I'm not saying if you know Bo Nix should be an MVP candidate because their team won 14 games. But when it's close between a couple candidates, I think it's more than a good tiebreaker. So,
yeah, I agree. And you know, I mean, May was able to win his division against Josh Allen.
Yeah,
and Stafford wasn't able to do that against Sam Darnold.
Correct.
And it's not that's about the team, too. That's not just about Stafford and just about May.
Another thing that should factor against Stafford, and this happens in all sports, but this is also from Barnwell, so I don't know if this guy's going to win, but his offensive player of the year was Puka Nacua. And in the NBA, that happens all the time where, like, you know, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum might not have gotten as much credit for what they were doing the last handful of years because they had each other on the team.
It's 1,000% worked against Tatum when it comes to MVP conversations because he's had stacked teams.
Right, because Jokic doesn't even – I like Jamal Murray, but I don't think he's ever even been an all-star. So, like, Jokic is, like, he's like doing it by himself, so he gets more credit. Fine, whatever. But Drake May doesn't have Puka Nacua and Devontae Adams on his team. So if you're going to use that, that's just like another thing you can add on in favor of Drake May.
So, I mean, again, we all here think that Drake May should win it. I'm bracing for him to lose.
And do you think it'll be close?
No. And I think it's for exactly what you said. It's if you did a blind resume, and this is what Shine was saying this morning, and you just looked at it, May has the better resume. He just does. What is factoring into it is the narrative, the storyline, you know, Stafford's career.
And too many guys think lifetime achievement, which is insane.
Yeah. And Stafford's just Stafford doesn't deserve the lifetime achievement treatment like Mahomes or Brady or somebody like that does. Stafford's not that good. People are acting like Stafford's in that club.
Yeah.
Stafford's basically he's like a little better than Phil Rivers.
Like you like him like, better than your guy Joe Flacco at least?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I'll take him over Joe Flacco.
I wasn't sure.
The irony is I'm actually the one who likes Stafford. You're the one who hates him.
Yeah, I don't like Stafford.
But you know, but Stafford is like not in this like
he's people, like not even in my top five in the league right
people
now.
People want to put him in like the Rodgers, Brady, Mahomes. Like they're treating him like he's that. He's not that.
No.
He's not even close to that.
No. He probably will be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, probably.
Because right? he's going to win this MVP. He's won a Super Bowl.
Is he in your Hall of Fame?
No. I'd have to double check. I'd have to look at the numbers again.
We're small hall guys.
Oh, notoriously.
But does he win the MVP or not?
Is he better than Drew Brees? If he wins the MVP.
I do think Stafford is better than Brees.
Yeah, and I
do think
so
that.
Now I'm kind of boxing into a corner because I have Brees in the Hall of Fame.
We have to put him in the Hall.
Yeah, I guess Stafford is a Hall of Famer.
With an MVP.
If he wins the MVP, which he shouldn't.
Yeah.
Very confusing.
Thank you. We settled.
All right, but if there's 50 first place votes to be handed out, like how many do you think he gets?
42.
Oh, wow.
42?
You think he gets 42?
Yeah. Something like that. Yeah. I mean, that's wrong. I hope I'm wrong. I hope it doesn't play out that way, but
I wonder if enough voters
What do you think?
33-17.
Okay.
I would consider
is that the math? Yeah, that sounds right. I would consider that close.
Yeah, I think it might be.
Like,
I
if May gets that many votes, I'd be like, okay, like, a lot of people got it.
Well, there'll be two New England writers, right?
There's two.
There's two.
Yeah.
But I wonder if enough people, not to just, you know, go crazy about this, but if enough people saw the Bill Barnwell breakdown where there's just so many different stats and so many examples and, like, getting into the defenses that he's faced. So, like, ignore the fact that the Falcons and the Browns and the Saints and teams like that missed the playoffs. What do their pass defenses tell you? Like, those are good. Those are hard. Those are tough matchups for the quarterback, and he succeeded against all of them. So if they take that into account, maybe it'll change some minds, and then maybe it'll be closer.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. From roof repair to emergency plumbing and more, done well. So the next time you have a home project, leave it to the pros. Get started at Angie.com.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Back to the leads. One now from Wiggy. Wiggy, good morning.
All right, good morning. So yesterday I talked about the road to the postseason, and Vrabel always sits here and talks about how difficult it is to win in the NFL. And I think the one thing that we, as Patriots fans, like, what we have to realize, especially this year, this is why my expectations are so high for New England when it comes to winning. Now I'm going to put on my former player hat and say why my expectations are high and the opportunity that you have at hand. Because you are in a year where you, as a football team, don't have to worry about Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson.
Right.
Right. So Vrabel always talks about how difficult it is winning. And the other thing that he always talked about, and that I asked him yesterday, great question, by the way, sick brag, bro. But I asked him yesterday about the way he talks to his team about not getting them to not enjoy the moment, not taking nothing for granted. And so when I look at this road and I look at the quarterbacks that are not going to be in it, I say, this is the opportunity for you because you don't know when you're going to be back in this position. We all expect, like, you know, we're sitting here and we're going, yeah, don't worry about it. Drake May doesn't need to win MVP.
Right. He's gonna you got another 10 years with Drake May. It's just starting. I mean, a good way to look at that is, I think, Detroit. Like, didn't we all expect that Detroit a couple seasons ago was starting a massive dynasty? Right, yep. And they're like,
think about all the teams.
What about the Bengals? They were in the Super Bowl.
Bengals is another good one. We obviously, you know, talk about San Fran and how they've been fighting to get back there. So where you are in this position, it's it's not like, I guess we get spoiled, and rightfully so, because we had Brady and Belichick, and it was like, yeah, every year, pencil the Patriots to be in the AFC Championship at least. You have to take advantage of this opportunity, because who's to say Buffalo doesn't load up next year, or Mahomes in Kansas City doesn't load up, or Lamar goes, you know, goes to Miami, and now imagine you got Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen. So take advantage of the road that you got, not just because of the teams, but because of the quarterbacks that you don't have to face.
And you got to start by winning Sunday night. Like,
yes,
and that's
and that's why I said my expectations. I might be a little bit cocky, but my expectations are you should be able to, if you play your best and they play their best, you win by 7 points.
Seven, you got it. You got them. You got them winning by seven.
Yeah, if you play,
so much is on the line though. Like so much is on the line.
I agree with that.
If they lose that game, everybody nationally goes fraud, fool's gold, never were any good. And if they win it, then it's from that point on, you're playing with house money. No matter what, it's a successful year. No matter who you ask, and you get, you know, if you start your career losing playoff games, think about all that Peyton Manning had to overcome because he didn't win early. I mean, it makes it so much more difficult.
Well, and the expectation has changed, right?
Like, totally.
You brought this up yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like going into the season, we were all like, "Wow, if this team can just get a playoff game, it'll be great."
Right.
The expectation has changed. You got to win the playoff game.
Yeah, you got to get to the AFC Championship. And I heard Jones and Keith talking about this yesterday, and I agree with them, and I think we all do. It has been a successful season. No one's taking that away from the Patriots. It's been a successful season. But where we are right now,
if they lose like the Patriots lost to the Ravens in 2009 on Sunday night, I don't think everybody's saying that.
I think they're saying the season's a success, but the postseason is a major failure. And when you lose in the postseason, Curtis, and I kind of agree with the road you're going down, when you lose in the postseason, people tend to put their foot on the brakes a little bit and go, wait a second, you might just be a regular season team. Kind of like, you know, Courtney's favorite team in the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, right. But if you go back to this, Wiggy, and I think you're probably right, but if you go back to the last time the Patriots were in the playoffs, not at home, and you had the Mac, you know, renaissance season, rookie year after Cam Newton, and you go 10-7, and you head to Buffalo, and you get your doors blown off. Like, that game was as ugly could get. Josh Allen could have put up 100 if they wanted to. Everybody Sunday morning woke up and said, uh-oh, we're not as good as we thought we were. I mean, that really changed your whole feeling about that season.
And I think this, even in that situation, you're right, it did happen, but I think this year will be 10 times worse than that because it was like, Mac Jones is a passenger.
Yeah.
They went there, they scrapped and clawed against.
They didn't finish the season 14-3 as the number two seed.
Right. Buffalo was still at that point like, oh, they're a Super Bowl contender. Yeah. So
you got to win round one, in my opinion, if you're the number two seed and you finish the season 14-3. I don't care what the schedule is because that's nonsense. All right. Thank you, Wiggy.
You got it, brother.
Speaking of the schedule stuff and MVP, I wanted to bring up some audio from Curtis's guy, Tom Brady, as my lead this morning. Tom Brady was asked about who he believes should be the MVP, Matthew Stafford or Drake May, and here is that exchange.
Is Matthew Stafford your MVP, or do you want to give it to the fellow Patriot, Drake May?
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't get a vote. I think what Matthew Stafford's done this season has been absolutely remarkable. 46 touchdowns, that's, you know, for any quarterback, that's a dream season. So he's been spectacular. Drake May, on the other side, has done some incredible things with Josh McDaniels in their first year together. Drake's got a long career ahead. I'm sure he's going to have many opportunities. You know, I would say Matthew Stafford.
Wow.
First of all, there's not a tiny bone of loyalty in the man's body when it comes to the franchise that he was with for 20 years. Fine, whatever. But because Matthew Stafford has been doing it for a long time, you're going to go ahead and award him the trophy?
That's not the award.
I told you, what's going to happen.
I hate this argument.
But it's, that's what's going to happen.
That's not what it is. It's not the most tenured player, the MVP award. It's the most valuable player
award.
It
was.
Matthew Stafford has 15 more touchdown passes. Like, you're acting like if the Patriots quarterback had Matthew Stafford's numbers, you'd all say MVP.
But that's not really what everybody's focusing on. Yes, they make a note of it, but they always go back to the fact of how long he's been doing it and the tenured part of it. Like, if you want to focus on this season alone and just bring up those stats and say that's what I'm basing it off of, that's fine. But when you talk to people and they're picking Matthew Stafford, they're never just basing it off of one season.
It's very simple. Excuse me. It's very simple. If it wasn't Matthew Stafford, let's say it was C.J. Stroud. C.J. Stroud had Matthew Stafford's numbers.
Yeah. He'd win it.
Yeah. No, it would be Drake Mays would be the MVP.
Yes, because Drake May is better in every other category that isn't touchdown.
No
passes.
One would
That's
be.
That's the only category Matthew Stafford's better in. Drake May's better in.
No one
leads the league in yards per attempt. Leads the league in completion percentage. Is better at leads the league in QB rating.
Right. But we're like just so fraudulent. If Drake May, if we were fans of the Rams, everybody here would say it's obscene that you're going to give it to this rookie second year guy who has 15 fewer touchdown passes. Just admit it.
Yeah, but you're saying you're saying fans of the Rams. I'm just talking about take your fandom out of it. Put yourself on a neutral team because they talked about Brady. The Houston Texans are the fifth seed. They finished 12-5. The LA Rams are the fifth seed. They finished 12-5. Houston didn't win their division. The Rams didn't win their division. If C.J. Stroud had thrown for 46 touchdowns and 8 interceptions, and Drake May has thrown 31 touchdowns and 8 interceptions, we would be sitting here saying you cannot give it to C.J. Stroud on a guy who didn't even win his division. You would be giving it to Drake May. I told you, it is going to be Matthew Stafford, him pulling at the heartstrings of the voters.
It's a lifetime achievement award.
Bingo.
Like they do at the Oscars when you never won an Oscar.
Right. It's when Denzel lost to Sean Connery.
Yeah, I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, it's like
people want to ignore the rushing stats, too. Like, he added, like, another 450 yards rushing and 4 touchdowns. Like, it's not like Stafford didn't pick up a single first down rushing this year. Drake May, I think, picked up 30.
It's the Lifetime Achievement Award, Greg, and I've been saying this to you guys.
Okay, how big is the gap, do you think, between Drake May's season and Matthew Stafford's season?
It's close, but, like, it's not, like, Drake May has had a better season, period.
Yes.
But by how much would you say? Like, you know, for me,
I would say by two turkey necks,
like five.
Why are you looking at Greg when
I'm right? I'm right here. I'm working on the neck, I'm working on the jowls.
But MVP means that you are the best player on one of the best teams, and you are Drake May, who is his team. Has more wins than Matthew Stafford's team. His team finished better than Matthew Stafford's team when it comes to where they fall in their conferences.
I think it's like the last decade, the MVP has been either the 1 or 2 seed in a given conference.
Is a comment like this motivated by Tom Brady not wanting Drake May to be considered to be a great New England Patriot quarterback?
No,
I
don't think he's intimidated by Drake May.
Greg, and I've said it's the Lifetime Achievement Award. That's all it is. Here's what you do. Give Matthew Stafford Offensive Player of the Year because that's what you want to give it to the guy with the best numbers, then that's what they get, the Offensive Player of the Year. The MVP shouldn't be the guy who has the best statistical numbers on the team that might not be good. What if they didn't make the playoffs, Matthew Stafford? Would you still be saying he deserves
Just look at it a couple years ago. I think it was 2023, the last time Lamar Jackson won the MVP. He dominated Dak Prescott. He was almost unanimous. 49 first-place votes for the MVP. He had 10 less total touchdowns, less total yards than Dak Prescott. But because Lamar Jackson finished 13-4 and Dak Prescott finished 12-5, who also won his division, by the way, Lamar Jackson won the MVP. Like, it matters. This stuff matters.
Yeah, I just, as someone that wants the Patriots to be successful, I really could give two poops about who wins the MVP, and especially considering the MVP for the last 25 years has only once gone on to actually win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And I think this team would be well-served if they do make the Super Bowl to have Matthew Stafford get awarded the MVP on Wednesday at the NFL Honors, and they use that to fuel themselves Sunday night again in the Super Bowl.
So last year...
Yeah, but Curtis, we're talking about Drake May. The greatest thing to happen to New England, the entire region, since the first Dunkin' Donuts opened up in Quincy in 1950. Like, Drake May is the single greatest thing to happen to all of us.
Tell him, Greg.
I hope we are appreciating it.
Right.
And there's no guarantee.
It's kind of a shot at his wife with the bacon going to Dunkin' Donuts, if we're being honest. But.
And there's no guarantee.
Greatest thing to happen to the region since Kelly's served the first three-way on Revere Beach in 1951.
That's pretty good.
You know what I mean?
That is pretty good.
Wiggy, if you have a three-way from Kelly's on the beach, is it considered beach sex?
I don't have three-ways when it comes to my roast beef.
Okay.
I only have it two-ways, the sauce right. and cheese.
Well, anyway.
Yeah? We are beach sexers.
Those are our leads.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit nationaldebtrelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit nationaldebtrelief.com. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.